In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we've made it to another year. January 1st, 2023. Is 2023 going to be a better year than 2022? I don't know. What do you mean by better? Are you going to be healthier this year? Who knows? Wait and see. Are you going to be wealthier? I don't know. What if you were not wealthier, but healthier? Would that make it a better year? Or what if you were healthier, not wealthier? We just don't know. You are older. Time marches on. And as we get older, things break down, fall apart, all of that good stuff. But we have to say things don't always get better. 2023 could be a worse year. Don't say, oh, Pastor, you're sounding negative. Oh, I'm just telling you, it could be a better year, but it could be a worse year. We don't know. Things might happen this coming year that we never would have imagined. Worse things. Well, you know, if you just knock on wood three times, that'll make it a better year. That's baloney. We don't follow superstitions. We are children of a living God. We worship a God who not only died for us, but rose for us. And that truth, the death and resurrection of Jesus, will sustain you no matter what comes in 2023. And that helps us because bad things do happen. The Bible is not only a record of God's salvation, but it's also a record of human sinfulness, and that means tragedy and violence. Violence is the result of sinfulness, and violence is in our world. And it always has been. And that affects us, sometimes not only directly, but certainly indirectly. We have in our gospel lesson today a very violent story. The account of King Herod murdering innocent children. And it is an unpleasant reminder of the violence in this world, even during Christmas. And you could even say that this particular violence was caused by Christmas. This is part of the Christmas story. We never have it, of course, in the Christmas pageants. It would terrify the children. But it's part of the Christmas story. And that troubles us, and it raises questions. Why doesn't God do something? Why do little children have to suffer because Jesus is born? Why do Mary and Joseph have to run for their lives? Jesus is God. He's the most powerful person who ever walked this earth, and yet Mary and Joseph have to run out of fear. And that makes God and Jesus seem weak. King Herod might justifiably be called the monster of the Christmas story. He was an exceptionally shrewd and capable ruler. He reigned for 33 years. He built palaces, fortresses, cities, waterworks. And his crowning achievement was the temple in Jerusalem. And he was so highly regarded by Caesar, who was in Rome, that he actually would go down in history as Herod the Great. And yet, despite the fact that he impressed Caesar, his own subjects did not support him. He was supposed to be king of the Jews, but he himself was only half Jewish, and he had many Roman practices that he followed. He was considered by many to be a tyrant. And as Herod became older, he grew increasingly paranoid and suspicious. He had a number of wives, and out of paranoia, he had his favorite one executed, as well as two of his sons. Herod's tendency to murder people, including those of his own family, became so widespread that even Caesar said, "I would rather be Herod's pig than his son." And of course, the underlying joke is there that a Jewish person wouldn't be keeping pigs. But Caesar thought, well, a pig in Herod's household would have a greater chance of living than one of his own sons. And so Herod's reputation as a paranoid, monstrous murderer is well documented. His ordering of the ruthless massacre of those male babies 2 years old and younger in Bethlehem in an attempt to kill baby Jesus was very much in character for him and was really one of his lesser brutalities. He did some horrible things. Through an act of divine intervention, the life of infant Jesus is spared. Joseph takes Mary and the baby. They flee to Egypt, where they essentially become refugees. The wise men were warned in a dream to go to their own country by another route. All of this does not make Jesus or God look very powerful. Couldn't God have sent an army of angels to protect baby Jesus? Could have done that. Couldn't he have sent a plague on Herod and destroyed him before he hurt so many people? Yes, God could have done that. Couldn't he have, you know, blinded the eyes of the soldier when they go searching for the children to put them to death? Certainly, God could have done all of those things, but he didn't. And here is where we get tripped up. When we hear of tragedy, when we hear of violence, when someone we love is involved in it, when we experience it, we want answers. We want to know why did this happen? We want someone to make sense of things for us. Tragedy is difficult to bear no matter what the circumstance, but especially when it happens to those who we would think would be innocent, and it seems to happen without any apparent reason. Read your Bible. Read your Bible and you will come across story after story where a person suffered because they did the right thing. Abel is murdered by his brother Cain because he did the right thing. John the Baptist has his head lopped off because he did the right thing. Preached the gospel. Stephen, first Christian martyr, because he did the right things, told others about Jesus. When such things happen, it appears to outward observers that God is not all that powerful, because if he was, we think he would have done something. He wouldn't let it happen. He would engineer some way for the tragedy, the violence to be prevented. And we barrage the gates of heaven with our questions. We want answers. And the Old Testament book of Job is basically about that issue. God gives an answer. May not be the answer you want to hear, but God does give an answer. And the answer he gives is the cross and the empty tomb. St. Paul reminded the Corinthians, Jews demand miraculous signs, Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. We are called to live not by what we see or what we can make sense out of. We are called to live by faith. Faith in what we hear in God's word, which tells us there is a God who loves you so much that he gave his one and only son to die for you. History and the events of this world are not on their own wobbly path, but rather God weaves his way throughout them in ways that we cannot see. And that's why we as Christians direct our faith not to superstitions or to positive thinking, but to the words and promises of God. When our Lord's suffering and death were unfolding, it seemed odd and out of place, and nobody made sense of it. In fact, they thought this is the worst thing that could ever happen, and it was. But what was going on? God was doing what God wanted to do to achieve his purpose. Now we know the rest of the story, that God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Now we know that God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And all of that points us to the resurrection. You take the resurrection out of the Christmas story, and it falls apart. It doesn't make any sense. You take the resurrection out of any tragedy and violence, it's like, okay, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. But we are people who worship a God that raises the dead. Those mothers of the innocent children who were murdered by the soldiers of King Herod were to look for their comfort in the same place that you are, to a God who has promised to send a Savior and who has done that, who sends a Savior to die for us and to rise for us. Now, that doesn't minimize the grief. That doesn't stop the violence. And to dismiss heartbreaking tragedy with a flippant attitude of, well, you know, don't worry about it, everything's going to work out in the end, that's cruel, and that is not a very kind way to treat people. And such an attitude dishonors a gracious and compassionate God. But rather, we have the hope that no matter what happens, the tragedy and the violence is not the end of the story. We have the hope and promise of the resurrection. So no matter what happens in 2023, you can be joyous because you have a God who loves you, who died for you, and who rose for you. No matter what happens, whether it's a better year or a worse year or pretty much the same, whether tragedies befall us or joys that we would never have imagined, do not fear. You have a Lord who raises the dead. And that includes you and me. 2023, I encourage you to make some resolutions. Try to be a better person. Eat healthier. Try to get a little more rest. Exercise a little bit more. That'd be good for you. Come to church. Hear the word of the Lord. Make it a goal to try to read your Bible a little more. Those are all blessings that will come your way. And don't be afraid and don't be superstitious, because your God is much bigger than all of that. And he has you wrapped in his loving care, even when it doesn't seem like it. You are loved more than you realize. And God raises the dead. And that includes you and me. Praise be to God. In his holy name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.